spoil heap outside a badger set would reveal a piece of bone or a scrap of corroded armour. The Lancrastians didn't go digging themselves, reckoning in their uncomplicated country way that it was bad luck to have your head torn off by a vengeful underground spirit. One or two of the old barrows had been exposed over the years, their huge stones attracting their own folklore. If you left your unshod horse at one of them overnight and placed a sixpence on the stone, in the morning the sixpence would be gone and you'd never see your horse again either. Down on the earth floor under the bank, a fire was burning darkly, filling the barrow with smoke, which exited through various hidden crannies. There was a pear-shaped rock beside it. Verence tried to sit up, but his body didn't want to obey.
"Dinna scanna wishta," said the rock.
It unfolded its legs. It was, he realised, a woman, or at least a female, blue like the other pixies, but at least a foot high, and so fat that it was almost spherical. It looked exactly like the little figurines back in the days of ice and mammoths, when what men really looked for in a woman was quantity. For the sake of modesty, or merely to mark the equator, it wore what Verence could only think of as a tutu. The whole effect reminded him of a spinning top that he'd had when he was a child.
"The Kelda says," said a cracked voice by his ear, "that ye must get ready."
Verence turned his head the other way and tried to focus on a small wizened pixie right in front of his nose. Its skin was faded. It had a long white beard. It walked with two sticks.
"Ready for what?"
"Good."
The old pixie banged its sticks on the ground.
"Kraken shadden eek, Fiegel."
The blue men rushed at Verence from the shadows. Hundreds of hands grabbed him. Their bodies formed a human pyramid, pulling him upright against the wall. Some clung to the tree roots that looped across the ceiling, tugging on his nightshirt to keep him vertical. A crowd of others ran across the floor with a full-sized crossbow and propped it on a stone close to him.
I say," Verence murmured.
The Kelda waddled into the shadows and returned with her pudgy fists clenched. She went to the fire and held them over the flames.
"Yin,"
said the old pixie.
"I say, that's aimed right at my..."
"Yin!"
shouted the Nack MacFeagle.
"Ton."
"Ton!"
It's right...
"Tetra!"
The Kelda dropped something on the fire. A white flame roared up, etching the room in black and white. Verence blinked. When he managed to see again, there was a crossbow bolt sticking in the wall just by his ear. The Kelda growled some order, while white light still danced around the walls. The bearded pixie rattled his sticks again.
"Now ye must walk away. No."
The Fiegel let Verence go. He took a few tottering steps and collapsed on the floor, but the pixies weren't watching him. He looked up. His shadow twisted on the wall where it had been pinned. It writhed for a moment, trying to clutch at the arrow with insubstantial hands, and then faded. Verence raised his hand. There seemed to be a shadow there, too, but at least this one looked as if it was the regular kind. The old pixie hobbled over to him.
"All fine now," he said.
You shot my shadow," said Verence.
"Hey, you could call it a shadow," said the pixie. "It's the fluents they put on you, but ye'll be up and about in that time."
"A boot?"
"About the place," said the pixie evenly. "All hail ye, Kingly. I'm Big Aggie's man. Ye'd call me the Prime Minister, I'm hazardin. Will ye no have a huge dram and a burned bannock while ye're waitin'?"
Verence rubbed his face. He did feel better already. The fog was drifting away.
"How can I ever repay you?" he said.
The pixie's eyes gleamed happily.
"Oh, there's a wee bitty thing, the curling aug, so ye could be giving us. Hardly important at all," he said.
"Anything," said Verence.
A couple of pixies came up staggering under a rolled-up parchment, which was unfolded in front of Verence. The old pixie was suddenly holding a quill pen.
"It's called a signature,"
he said, as Verence stared at the tiny handwriting.
"And make sure ye initial all the subclauses and codicils. We of the Nack MacFeagle are a simple folk," he added, "but we write very, very complicated documents."
Mightily Oates blinked at Granny over the top of his praying hands. She saw his gaze slide sideways to the axe and then back to her.
"You wouldn't reach it in time," said Granny without moving. "Should have got hold of it already if you were going to use it. Prayer's all very well.